This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on the show today. Opening half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts, freshen out every day. Pickle bar, live by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, so we will get going right out of the gate today with the outstanding Scott Lauber. Talk about the Phillies. First of all, Scott, welcome back. It is always a pleasure. Yes, no, maybe. Hello. Can anybody hear me? Anybody? Help. Hello. Goodbye. Great to be with you. I don't think Todd can hear me today. So, there you go.
Oh, trying to reach him. I keep saying trying to reach him. It would help if I turned my microphone up. Why can't he hear me?
Todd, I can't hear you, man.
It's just Steve alone in the void.
I mean, just so you know, a prerequisite to any opportunity of broadcasting success is to turn the mic on. It's a prerequisite. I didn't say it's guaranteed success, but at least it's a prerequisite to the possibility of broadcasting success.
Scott is with us, sir.
Scott, always a pleasure. Welcome. It's always great to hear you on the other end.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for carving out some time for us today.
Of course.
Are the Phillies a great example of a really, really good team that goes through 162 games and has great stretches and has one along the way with injuries and things like that that just isn't that great? Is that just what 162 games actually looks like?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's fair. I think that's probably a healthy way of looking at it. They were playing at 114 win pace at one point, and you can count on one hand the number of teams that have won that many games in a season. We're talking about the 2001 Mariners, we're talking about the 1998 Yankees, and in modern baseball, that's pretty much it. You know, teams that won in the 100 and teens over a season. So yes, I think that on one hand, most teams do go through a lull, a stretch that's not as great over the course of 162 games, which is why, you know, even a 100-win season is not anything to be taken for granted or taken lightly. That said, their lull in the middle of the summer, I think at one point they were 8-18 over a stretch, was really bad. I mean, they were as bad as any team not called the Chicago White Sox for a stretch of time there in the summer. So, you know, I think it was a combination of things. I do think that the just sort of the ebbs and flows of a season lend itself to a period there. But they also didn't play well for about a month-long stretch. And, you know, I talked to a lot of people during that time. And, you know, the question was, like, what's wrong with the Phillies? And it's funny because a lot of people on the outside who were people who were with other teams kind of, you know, don't see them every day said, look, they'll be fine. Their roster is really good from top to bottom. They might be the best team in baseball. They'll be fine. And other people said, like, you know, it's natural for people to wonder what's wrong. But if you're going to go through a stretch like that, let it be in August, because you know you've got plenty of time to figure things out. And that's what they've done. They're 14-4 now in their last 18 games. They're closing in on the division title, which they should, I think, clinch next week, either in Milwaukee or in New York. So I think by this time next week, or certainly by next weekend, we'll be talking about them being division champs and coming through that stretch in August just fine.
Yeah, no, yeah, I agree with that. As you know, I hold Kyle Schwarber in high regard. I just think there's certain guys. Is it a coincidence the Cubs won when he was there? No. Is it a coincidence the Red Sox got to the American League Championship Series when he was there? No. Is it a coincidence with the Phillies? He's got 14 leadoff home runs. He's got the average now to 250, and he hit 197 last year. You get to see Schwarber on an everyday basis. You get to be around him all the time as a clubhouse presence. What does he mean to a winning team?
A lot. You know, I think you hit on a lot of it. I mean, you hit on a lot of it, what he means from just a sort of an on-field standpoint. He is their leadoff guy, and I think that by now a lot of the debating about whether or not Kyle Schwarber should lead off have kind of been put to rest. I mean, is he a prototype leadoff guy? No. I mean, not in the sense that, like, you and I grew up at a time when leadoff guys stole a lot of bases, and it was usually a fast guy, and it was a guy who could make things happen with his legs. Well, Schwarber does it in a different way. I mean, look at the other night, right, when he hit the 14th leadoff home run, which is a major league single season major league record now. You know, there's no easing into a game for the starting pitcher when the first guy you've got to face is Kyle Schwarber. He fell behind 1-0 in the count, and then tried to flip a pitch up there for a strike, and Schwarber hit it, you know, into the center field seats. So, like, you know, there's no, like, taking a breath or being able to exhale with that first batter, and that's kind of what he... It's like a boxer who comes out and just, like, punches you square in the face and knocks you out right away. That's kind of, like, the impact he has as a leadoff guy. He sees a lot of pitches. He works deep counts. But, you know, for all of the things he does at the plate, the runs he produces, et cetera, I mean, his biggest impact to me is what he does in the clubhouse. And there is a reason why, in good times and in tough ones, reporters like me seek him out, because not only has he been on winning teams and seen a lot of things, but he also kind of has a way of putting things into some perspective, which I think you need every now and then over the course of a long season. And like we were talking about the stretch they went through in August, you know, I think one of the things, they were in Seattle, and I remember talking to him, and he said, you know, if you had told any of us in spring training that, you know, we would have lost Trey Turner for 6 weeks, and Harper would have been on the DL for IL for 10 days, and you know, they would have had some adversity to conquer, and that they would have had the lead that they had at that time in the division at the beginning of August, would you take it? Of course you would take it. And so that's kind of what I mean. Like, you know, he says those things to us, but he certainly says them to his teammates behind closed doors, and has a way of sort of being, I don't know, a voice of reason, or certainly bringing a perspective. And that's why he's the leader of the team. If they had a captain, it would be Kyle Schwarber. And you know, I think that's really as big an influence as he has. It's really what he does off the field.
Bryce Harper hasn't homered in a month. So when you've talked to him, I mean, he's probably sitting there like going, I'm fine, no big deal. But organizationally, a little bit concerned that a bat like that hasn't found the seats?
More concerned, I think, if he wasn't getting hits. You know, he's getting a lot of hits. He's actually hitting the ball really hard. You know, and Todd Zalecki from MLB.com did some really good reporting a couple of weeks ago, and Harper kind of conceded that he's dealing with some wrist soreness. But he was dealing with that, he said, earlier in the year when he was player of the month in May and June back-to-back. I think it was May and June back-to-back that he was player of the month in the National League. But now he's got a little bit of elbow irritation as well. That's not, he says, not related to the Tommy John surgery. It's just a kind of a bump and bruise that you get during the course of the season. And, you know, Harper's been careful to say, look, these are not excuses. I should be hitting for more power. But I do think that they explain some things because, you know, he's hitting the ball. His hard hit rate is the same as it was the first half of the season. Or it's at least consistent with what it was early in the season. His fly ball rate, he's hitting the ball in the air. He's barreling a lot of balls. The difference is they're not going over the wall. And maybe the elbow thing serves to help explain that. Maybe he's not getting the extension on his swing that he would normally get. Whatever the case is, I will say this, that Sunday in Miami, Monday against the Rays, and Tuesday against the Rays, he hit a ball in each of those games that missed going out by inches. And Tuesday night, he was talking after that game about kind of being a little bit baffled by it because he feels like he's hitting the ball hard enough and well enough to go out, and it's just not going out. And I think there'd be more concern for the Phillies if those balls were if he wasn't hitting balls like that. Instead, they're going for doubles, and he's driving in runs and things like that. And I think they think as long as he keeps hitting the ball hard, I mean, it's just a matter of time.
All right, so that brings us to Ranger Suarez. Suarez starts the season, first 16 starts, 1.83. He's been 6.02 since June 30th. Is there some internal concern about where he is? Because when he's been going, when he went well, the Phillies felt like they had a big three.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bigger issue for me, I think, than Harper or really almost anything else. Because like you said, they did. They had a big three for the first 2.5 months of the season. Suarez was arguably their best pitcher during that stretch. It was kind of a separator for them, between them and the rest of the league, the fact that they could throw Wheeler, Nola, and Suarez, and then, oh, by the way, Christopher Sanchez out there 4 out of 5 days and had a chance to win all of those games and won many of them en route to their, you know, 45-20 start or whatever they were. So, yeah, there's no doubt he has not been the same pitcher since the end of June. He went through a month where he didn't pitch because he had some back spasms. They, I think, slow played his return as much as they could because they had the luxury of making sure that they could take some extra time and make sure that that he was healthy and they could manage his innings at the same time. He has come back and, you know, has not looked the same, has not been as sharp. Changeup has not been as sharp. There's been a slight dip in his velocity, though it did tick back up a little bit the other night. I mean, you know, everyone says he's not injured. He feels okay. For a while, the first couple of starts, the rationale was, well, he didn't go on a rehab assignment in the minor leagues, so he's kind of coming back at the major league level, and it takes time. Well, now it's 4 starts in, and he just gave up 12 hits the other night in a game that they still won, but it was a career high for hits for him. So, yeah, I mean, I think getting him back to, you know, it doesn't have to be what it was in April and May and early June, but, you know, getting him back to a point where you can put him out there in a postseason game and feel a lot of that same confidence, I think that's a big, big storyline for them the last 2 weeks of the season. He's going to make, I think, 3 more starts. Between now and the postseason, and you know, I do think if he doesn't clean it up a little bit, if it doesn't get a little bit sharper, you do have to begin to ask the question: should he start Game 3, or should Christopher Sanchez be their Game 3 starter? He's pitched really, really well, shows no signs of slowing down, even though he's pitched more innings than ever before in his career. And you know, I mean, I'm sure they're talking about that internally, like getting Suarez back on track. And also figuring out where Sanchez and Suarez fit in terms of how they order their postseason rotation.
Is there a player that maybe is under the radar a bit, Scott, that is a big reason why they're winning again, but isn't a star and is subtly getting it done?
It's a good question. You know, like, look, I mean, we're sitting here talking during a week when they've gotten big hits from the likes of Cal Stevenson and Buddy Kennedy and Weston Wilson and, you know, Cody Clemens, guys who've spent the majority of the year in AAA. I don't want to underestimate that. They've won three in a row. They've won 14 out of 18 because they've gotten contributions from some of these unexpected sources at a time when Alec Bohm is out, JT Realmuto has been out. Look, Aramis Garcia, who essentially is their fourth catcher, throws out the tying run at second base last night in the ninth inning in his second start since coming up. So, you know, they've you know, I kind of joked the other night on Twitter that, like, should we call them the Philadelphia Iron Pigs or the Lehigh Valley Phillies? Because you've got half the AAA roster up here, and they're really playing well. But I don't think those guys are kind of what you're going for with your question. Because honestly, like, they're not. You know, Stevenson and Kennedy certainly, and probably either Wilson or Clemens. One or the other is probably not on the postseason roster if everything, you know, if everybody comes back as they expect and everything goes according to plan. So, you know, I guess, you know, like, he's a star and he's a highly paid player, but, like, I think Nick Castellanos' consistency this year has kind of flown under the radar a little bit. You know, he's been their best or certainly most consistent hitter since the middle of June. He doesn't fall under the category of unsung, though, given his salary and his stature. So, I don't know. I just think that, you know, I guess Sanchez, you know, on the pitching side, like I said, is really kind of he's really kind of held up in a season in which he's pitched more than ever before, and really helped the rotation stay on track because Suarez hasn't been Suarez. I think you know, Orion Kerkering has really kind of come back to pitching the way they expected he would. Jose Alvarado is starting to pitch well now, so the bullpen is kind of taking shape. You know, I take your point, though. I think that it's been a lot of guys not named Harper and not named Turner all the time, that Trey Turner all the time, that have really helped them get back on course here.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Castellanos next, but it's interesting you mentioned that because I went to a Red Sox-Pirates game in April, and the Red Sox ran out this lineup. And I texted my son. I said, is this the Worcester? I was like, what's going on here? And the Red Sox won the game 6-1. But, like, everybody was out. So, yeah, every once in a while you got to get through with something like that. Hey, Scott, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for all the information, as always.
Of course, Steve, anytime.
Thank you. Scott Lauber, he's outstanding. Does a great job. Philadelphia Inquirer covering the Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies are back to playing great baseball. And as he mentioned, look, I mean, it's not like they have all the guns firing right now. Realmuto has been banged up. Bohm's been banged up. Suarez is, you're not sure right now. But they're winning 14-4 in their last 18 games. We'll take a break. I'm back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Bring
bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Staff Hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They do every kind of insurance. I don't think they have suit insurance, but he's actually insurable. What? Remember that advice I gave you about turning the mic on?
That's why I'm keeping it off. That's why you don't know I laugh at your jokes.
Right. Well, no, I never gave the suit that advice. All right, so, what? I thought it was best for the show. Purdy Insurance, they'll save you money, and they'll make sure you're fully insured. Customer service means everything to them. Just great people. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And was it T. Frank here? I believe. Yay, nay. Yes,
no,
it is.
It's high school football roundtable.
Oh, we're going to do the roundtable.
It's Greg.
When's T. Frank on?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay. Well, we start with Greg. Lewisburg is rolling.
They are.
Give me the, let's use the great political term, great vibes. Okay. What are the great vibes around this program right now? Great vibes. You'd be amazed what execution means, but we'll go with vibes.
That's right. No, it's amazing what three wins does to you at the start of the season, Steve. Kids are excited about practice. Game week, game night, they just are excited about who their next opponent is. They've turned it around since last week's practice. They seem to be more focused at practice right now, too, and stuff as our practice Tuesday, Wednesday, more focused at practice. Coaches are excited about the way they're paying attention to practice, going full out of practice. So everything looks good right now, Steve. We'll see what happens with Hughesville on Friday night, but they have a great attitude right now, and people are even talking about them in the community a little.
Yeah, which is great. So we could talk great vibes all you want. You'd be shocked that execution actually means everything. So we'll get to the execution part of it. Where are they executing well that then allows them to even cover up for maybe a deficiency here or there?
Defensively, the front seven are putting a lot of pressure on quarterback. They're doing a really good job. I would say maybe the weakest part of Lewisburg's defense is their secondary.
Yeah.
But they've been ahead so much in these games, Steve, that they're playing like a bend but don't break defense. And they haven't given up a big play. They are just playing good team defense right now. Everybody seems to understand their role. They're doing what they need to do, what they're supposed to do. And the other thing is they found some depth. They had some offensive linemen hurt, but they put new kids in, kids that haven't played a lot of varsity ball, and they're really coming through and doing a real nice job for them. So they've had some surprises along the way in this 3-0 start, but everybody that's playing is contributing.
Which then brings it to attitude. Now, look, you have to be able to keep yourself on an even keel when things aren't going well. But I don't think people realize that the other test of character is that you need to keep yourself on an even keel when things are going well. So you've been around the coaching staff. What's that been like to make sure that everybody is staying on an even keel while building upon success?
Well, what they're really focusing on is also letting you know, hey, this, for instance, Hughesville this week, this kid is really good. Best player we've seen this year. This quarterback really throws a great ball. Might be the best quarterback we've seen this year, you know. So they're trying to keep them steady, that knowing that this is going to be maybe their toughest test of the year. That type of thing, that again, it keeps them focused. It keeps them looking at this week's game instead of looking ahead to next week's game, which is against Warrior Run, which might or probably should be coming into the game undefeated. So that's what their primary goal is right now, keeping them focused on Hughesville, which they've done a good job with at the practices I've been to. And, again, that's what they talk about constantly. You don't hear mention of anything else. That's what their focus is, offensively and defensively. So I think they're doing a real good job, keep them an even keel, knowing, hey, one game at a time, and go from there.
I think I heard this in an earlier answer, but I'll at least to like slip this back in. Sometimes there's a variety of ways to win. Have they found the variety of ways to win, or has it been the same formula every week, at least the basics of it?
Well, the basics is their running game, Steve. But last week they had threw three touchdown passes, which is going to help, is going to help the running game in the future.
No doubt.
But defensively is where they're winning ball games. The kids are defensively. It was a shutout against Chickalimmie. They gave 10 points to Bloomsburg, and the touchdown was essentially a mop up time. They're playing really well defensively. That's been the key to the start of their season. And having strong second halves, they've been getting stronger as the game goes on.
I'm happy for you because this is more fun.
It is a little more fun. But like I said, you know, before our schedule was front-end loaded. Yeah. This year, it's back-end loaded. So we'll see how they... You know, adversity is going to hit with them sometime. See how they react to adversity.
Who needs adversity? All right, so, Greg, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care, Steve.
All right, Todd, who's next on the Cavalcade of Champions here?
Coach Briggs.
Coach Briggs, how are you today? Always a pleasure.
Hey, Steve. Thanks. Doing well, buddy.
All right, let's start with it. That's a tough place to play, and that's a good football team. What was your thought on what Selins Grove got out of that game and what they didn't get out of that game?
Well, first off, I mean, I think when you look at the schedule, certainly Twin Valley didn't know much about once you saw them. You know, it was that up-tempo, solid attack, and everybody knew in the back of their minds going to Jersey Shore, who I think Coach Gravis does the best job, bar none, with offensive attack. You know, you had to be ready for everything. Running the football, certainly the pass game, which was incredible, and most importantly, the tempo. They do such a great job with the tempo game, and Selins Grove played two teams that did that back to back, and I think going into it, Coach Wenrick and the staff were probably saying, "All right, we got a little bit of experience, you know, live experience, because a lot of young kids were playing." Then they got banged up a bit down at Twin Valley, so new guys were going to play, and I think this year more so than probably the last four that I've been associated with Selins Grove football. Real, real thin. So what that means is you play an up-tempo offense. You're playing a lot of guys, probably 60, 70, 80% of the defense is also playing offense because they're not, you know, they're going both ways and don't get a chance to rest too much. And I think that's what the big challenge was, right? Coming out of the game, Jersey Shore, you know, wore them down quickly, and then the passing attack was really incredibly impressive to me for Jersey Shore.
You're right. And plus, yeah, look, when you're playing with the lead, it's a different game. When you're trying to play from behind, it's such an uphill battle. In the end, some of these young guys getting experience now, can that benefit them a couple of weeks down the line because at least they'll understand the speed of the game?
Absolutely. And what it's doing is they're gaining depth, right? When the older guys that are banged up comes back, Bullington didn't play at all. A couple of the offensive linemen are didn't play, got a freshman in there, sophomore quarterback. I mean, all these guys are getting, you know, I used to say, building the thickness of that leather, right? How thick are the skins that they're going up against? These guys really get thrown into the fire and have to perform. And to do it against quality opponents like they're playing, you know, it's got to be a plus. And I think that's the big thing. You asked the question, what they got out of it. I think that's the big thing. And it's exactly what you just touched on. These younger guys all of a sudden aren't young anymore, and it builds depth.
Okay, so back home, they've got Central Mountain coming up on Friday night. Mm-hmm. Central Mountain lost, I think, 36-17 to Williamsport. And Williamsport's off to a 3-0 start. Just from a confidence point of view, what can a game like this mean for Selinsgrove Grove?
It comes at the right time. Let's face it, it's a step down from the last two opponents, maybe the last three opponents. And I said to my broadcast partner, the guru, Pat O'Brien, the other day, I said, I hope, if anything, use the Notre Dame example, right? I mean, my goodness, it doesn't matter who, what, it's all execution and doing the right thing and winning one play at a time, no matter who you play. So I think the timing of this comes at a good time. I do think some of the guys are getting healthier. I don't know. I'll get the report maybe later this afternoon. But that's going to be key. And it's a home game. Okay, they don't have to jump on a bus at 1:30 in the afternoon to go to Reading or you know, up to Jersey Shore, which is always a great challenge. Just saying it, right? And I think this Jersey Shore team is as good as maybe the team 3 years ago that played for a state title. So it'll be a step down in their competitiveness from what they've just played, but Selinsgrove's got to take care of business. They're 1-2, and it all comes down to the confidence of running what they can do on both sides of the ball in the kicking game.
Coach, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your insight. Terrific as always.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right. So that means that we now have the chief.
We do not. We have not heard from the chief today.
Oh, he's in the witness protection program. Come on. You can't have that. The play-by-play guy doesn't want to talk, which is a rarity.
He's got to rest those golden voice cords.
No, he likes to talk about himself. What? What the heck? Yeah? Yeah, Shikellamy has Williamsport, which hasn't lost yet. Williamsport beat Central Mountain 36-17, and they're obviously off to a great start. I mean, they beat Hazleton 23-6, and they won the opener over Wyoming. You know, and Valley West. I mean, they beat Valley West 33-0.
We hit on this a little bit when we started yesterday. Is, you know, those three wins are with, you know, teams with a combined, you know, the only team that has a win so far this season is Hazleton, I believe. So I think right now for the Braves, it's kind of a confidence thing. You know, I think they'd feel pretty confident if they were playing well right now that they had a shot in this one, and that's obviously not what's going on. They lost 49-0 last week to Shamokin and haven't scored since that opener. And again, you know, the overtime loss to Milton, you know, that seems to be, you know, these tough losses early in the season the last 3 years have kind of just seemed to knock the Braves off track this first month of the season. And the issue for them right now, obviously, is, you know, they don't get, even if they don't win, they haven't been playing well. If they play well this week, now they have to figure things out against Jersey Shore next week at home. So this is probably their best chance right now over these next 2 weeks to kind of figure out some things that they do well and prepare themselves for the end of the season. Because, you know, I think right now most people, I think, are looking at Jersey Shore and Shamokin as the top two seeds in the playoffs. But the you know, Seals Grove is probably going to take that third one at 1-2, yeah, 1-2 right now. But the Braves are battling two teams that play a lot smaller schools. So if the Braves can get a win or two, they can get themselves a playoff, you know, playoff berth and get that young team maybe an extra week of practice.
Well, they've been outscored 79-0 in the last two games. I'm not being negative here. It's just a fact. I mean, that's a fact. And they desperately need to be the team that scores first in the game. They need to get some semblance of confidence. They need to play with the lead. I mean, that's what they need to do, in my opinion. I don't think they have any choice except to play that way.
Well, and that goes back to, you know, the whole confidence thing, because you know as well as I do, if you're playing that poorly and all of a sudden the other team gets the lead, you're back into the, oh, here we go again, and, you know, we're
right.
Not, what's going on, and why can't we do this right, and you're perfectly, you know, and I think it's even, you know, we talk about it in all levels of football, but I think the younger you get, the more important it is, just because the younger you get, the less confidence you have in yourself usually.
There's no question about that, and that when you have been essentially out of games 2 weeks in a row after one that went to overtime, it was dramatic, exciting, the whole thing, but they haven't been in the last two games, right? You got to take the lead at some point, because you got to like go back to your sideline and go, okay, now here we go, we're gonna make them play from behind. That they need that desperately,
and they haven't found an easy way to score yet. You know, well, obviously they haven't scored in 2 weeks, but you know, they had the big play capabilities last year with the freshman Thomas Pollock, and they've kind of gone back to more of a wing T base than they were last year, and they haven't really found a way to get him the ball in space like he needs. And I think that's been one of their big issues too. They haven't had the ability to come up with a big play or an easy score. The two times they did score at the beginning of the season, that they had to drive the ball down the field.
And the other part, maybe it wouldn't hurt if they got a defensive score.
Okay. That's true too, and that's probably the best side of the ball right now.
Right. So yeah. So that's what we have on our high school roundtable. We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WK. Okay.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their fall kickoff blitz. Savings of up to $12,416 and financing as low as 0%. Score a great deal on the award-winning 2024 Ford Bronco Sport, and SMC has 18 in stock, priced from as low as $29,965. Sunbury Motors is going to give you a Hail Mary of a deal on over 50 2024 Ford Escapes, priced as low as $27,915. Plus, get 1.9% financing for 60 months. SMC is the Hall of Fame of Ford F-150s, with 35 available, with discounts of over $12,000, and they are slashed to the lowest price of the season, starting at only $48,859. Don't let the play clock run out on these awesome deals, as the final drive of savings ends Monday, September 30th. Sunbury Motors is a fifth-generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
For more than 50 years, MechTech Incorporated has helped the Susquehanna Valley grow into the place we all love to live, work, and play in. Our body of engineering work includes design of the new comfort station at everyone's playground in Sealands Grove, site design and permitting approvals for Haven Ministries' expansion project in Sunbury, and design of the gate-controlled entry to the Monroe Township Recycling and Compost Center in Hummel's Wharf. Additionally, we recently obtained zoning permits for Take 5 Oil Change in McAllister Restaurant in Sealands Grove. As municipal engineers, MechTech reviews all land development plans for the Northumberland and Snyder County Planning Commissions and for multiple municipalities throughout the valley. Mike Thomas, professional engineer, manages all engineering work at MechTech. Need a solution for your backyard drainage problem or a site design for your new business? Give Mike a call today. He'll be glad to help you with your engineering project. MechTech Incorporated, building on a solid foundation.
Okay, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We'll talk about the Pac-12 here coming up, too. I know we have to get into that a little bit because I give, first of all, as you know, I've given high marks to the Big 12 for staying alive. They get an A plus for staying alive. They get a C plus B minus for membership. But they stayed alive. And it's the same thing here with the Pac-12. They're getting an A plus from me today because they're staying alive. They're getting a C plus B minus for who they added in. Again, this isn't the, you know, you're not going to expect the equivalent of what the SEC did with Texas, Oklahoma. You're not going to get what the Big Ten did with the additions of USC, Oregon, Washington, UCLA. In fact, UCLA has that Big Ten opener with Indiana at the Rose Bowl on Saturday night. And it's I give them credit for staying alive. We're going to talk a little bit more about that coming up.
That was pretty fast last night. That was like 9:30 that broke, and by 9 o'clock in the morning they were announcing it.
Well, that's because they already had it done.
Well, yeah, but
I mean, you're talking about T's crossed and, you know, I's dotted, and suddenly you're done. I mean, you have it. This one is on me when it comes to not reading the tea leaves right away. I think just being focused in on doing baseball in the season and things like that. This is one I did miss a little bit because when there was the announcement of the breakdown or the report of the breakdown between the Mountain West and the Pac-12 over scheduling, I should have keyed in on that more, and I didn't. And normally I do. This time I didn't. I missed it. And so... That is...
I read that, and I was like, oh, that's why the scheduling thing broke down.
Right, that's exactly what I thought. And I should have... And you know what? I should have honed in on that right away at the time in retrospect, so I apologize to the audience for that. But, yeah, I mean, it happens once in a while. But they've done this. They have to find two more, though. So I think I see what they're trying to do with this. The next big step in all of this is actually the ACC's contract with ESPN. ESPN has to make a declaration that they are going to keep going with the contract through 2036. They have to, quote, opt into it. Now, maybe they're going to renegotiate parts of it for the opt-in, but ESPN is an all-sports network, and they need the inventory. Simple as that. Remember that game last year where LSU played Florida State in Orlando? Well, that was Florida State's home game. Now, ABC and ESPN carrying the game, it's great. If they don't have the ACC contract, they can't carry the game. So when you're an all-sports network, you can't just be carrying all SEC and all Big 12 games. The loss of the Big Ten puts more of the onus on ESPN to keep the ACC. So say they don't opt to keep the contract. Now let's bring that back to the Pac-12. Now it might open the door for Cal and Stanford to come back. But if ESPN opts in January, February, then, in my opinion, that goes by the boards, and now you go with Plan B. See how the two are interconnected? All right. We'll talk more about this next hour. Tomorrow, Thomas Frank Carr and Bob Nightingale on the show tomorrow. And then we've got Williamsport and Chickalamy. The suit is all geared up. He has written the ultimate open.